Welcome to Exceeding Joy, brought to you by private sponsors here on Faith FM. I'm Sue Waters, and it's my pleasure to be with you over the next hour. Our desire is to share the life and joy God brings to people as we answer questions and deal with the problems of life together. Tonight, we'll be looking at the topic of addictions. We would love to hear from you with your questions, comments, and testimonies. You can call our studio line at 519-741-9430, or you can call our toll-free number at 1-877-741-9430. I came across a definition by Lawrence Wilson, MD, on addiction, and I thought it was very interesting. He said, anything that causes a temporary high or feeling of well-being followed by a low tends to be addictive. As the well-being effect wears off, another dose or fix is needed to regain the temporary high. Every addictive substance or habit weakens the body or mind. It stimulates more than it nourishes. When the high wears off, one feels a little worse than before one used it or experienced it. One is attracted back to the substance, habit, or even a person to feel good once again. This is the basic principle of all addiction. Well, there are all kinds of addiction. I've thought about them, and I listed a few of them, but I read somewhere that there's over 200 different addiction support groups using a 12-step program. So my short list is nothing compared to the different addictions that there are. But I listed illegal drugs and legal drugs because you can legally buy some drugs and become addicted to them. Alcohol, pornography, shopping, exercise, overeating, undereating, work, sex, internet surfing, gambling, video games, nicotine, and caffeine. Those are just a few that I jotted down, but there are all kinds of addictions, and in the world, we're running into it more and more. Addictions are becoming commonplace in the world because I believe people are just looking for answers and they're looking in all the wrong places. When problems occur in our lives, we will run. If we don't run to God, we will run to something or someone else. I liked what Neil Anderson said. He states in his book that there's three options in responding to our emotions. He says you can respond by covering over them, by ignoring them, or stifling them. That's called suppression. You can respond by thoughtlessly lashing out, giving someone a piece of your mind, flying off at the handle, which he calls indiscriminate expression. And the third option is to peer inside to see what's going on. He calls that acknowledgement. When we don't acknowledge the things that are going on in our hearts and in our lives, we run to get comfort. We run to get rid of the pain. We don't like pain, and understandably so. No one really likes pain. And as Dr. Daniel Gratlin says, humans are basically trying to avoid pain and increase pleasure. That's true. We do it. We all do that. However, we're going down the wrong path if we continue to avoid pain and go to pleasure, because pleasure is short term and it leaves us in a worse place. If we will go to God, God will give us the answer. He will show us how to deal with the pain. Pain in a fallen world is inevitable. It's unfortunate. I wish that I could tell you that there would be no more pain in your life. But that's not going to happen. We live in a fallen world. That was never God's plan. I always say, you've heard me say this before and you'll hear me say it again. You look at the Garden of Eden and that was God's original plan. Everything was wonderful. So there was no sin. That's how God wanted it. He wanted us to live a great life. And that's what heaven will be like, living a great life with Him. Because sin entered the world, we have pain and suffering and sickness and disease and addictions. But it doesn't matter what you're struggling with tonight. God is your answer. And I don't say that just flippantly. He really is our answer. Only God can heal pain. Time doesn't heal pain. That's a lie when people say time heals pain. Time never healed pain in my life. It was God that healed it. I went for years with various kinds of pain in my life, emotional pain from hurts and things that had gone on from bad choices I made. But time didn't heal that. Time just made me more callous. Time made me more wounded. Time just gave time for the wounds to fester. It wasn't until I went to God and allowed Him to heal the pain that true healing really occurred. I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you don't have any addictions in your life, and that's great. Perhaps you know someone that has an addiction or maybe several addictions. Perhaps it's someone very close to you. We can pray for those people, but we also want God to give them a revelation. When I was doing my devotions this morning, and I was thinking about knowing that I was doing the show tonight, God spoke to me and He said, I desire intimacy with my children who roam the streets of life looking for love, happiness, and meaning in all the wrong places. I desire to embrace my children, to pour my love into their broken hearts and to restore them. Tell them that I love them. So tonight I want to tell you that whether it's addiction or any other sin in your life, God loves you and He wants to restore you. He has a plan of restoration for your life. He loves you. Your addiction doesn't stop God's love flowing to you. Your addiction may put up a wall to stop God, but God, the flow goes from God. You're the one that stops it. God's not mad at you. He's not upset at you. He hurts for you. His heart breaks for those that are struggling. Shirley Anita Chrisholm says, it is not heroin or cocaine that makes one an addict. It is the need to escape from a harsh reality. Many of us have harsh realities in our life at some point or another. Some people live a lifetime of harsh reality. And I started reading a book recently by Serge Leclerc, and it's called Untwisted. And he was the product of a rape, and his life just was one bad thing happening to him after another. And he was born at a time where the law was against him rather than for him. And they had a law that if you were raised by a single mom and you did anything wrong, you were determined, your family was determined unfit to raise you, or your mom was determined unfit to raise you. So he became a ward of the government, and he grew up in Toronto, and he ended up being one of Canada's top most wanted men. And it's you'll have to read the book. It's a great book. And I've only started to read the book, but I actually heard him when he spoke at the University of Waterloo several months ago. Quite a testimony. But he found God, and he accepted God, and God turned his life around. And what a radical change in this man's life, because he no longer looked to drugs to ease the pain of what was done to him. He had been put in a boy's home, and he had been sexually and physically abused over and over again. And those are the types of things that people need relief from pain. We don't know how to cope with that. We weren't made to deal with that kind of pain in our lives. So when that happens, we've got to go to God so that he can heal us. Otherwise, we're going to go to something else. It's not just drugs. It's not just alcohol. Some people go from love affair to love affair to love affair. They're always looking for someone to meet a need in their heart. And that's not healthy. It's not a healthy relationship when you're looking to another person to ease your pain, to give you comfort. Now, most certainly, we can comfort one another with the love of God, but we're not to be that source of continual comfort for someone. God is. The comfort we give is temporal. It will not last. But the love that God has is eternal. And it is a love that restores and heals and brings great freedom to our life. We're going to go to a song by Third Day called Cry Out to Jesus, and allow the words of this song to minister to you as you listen.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry. Cry out to Jesus. For the mirrors that struggling just to hang on, they've lost all of their faith and love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still it's not enough. You wiping the tears from her eyes. And for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness,
Exceeding Joy. I'm Sue Waters, and our topic tonight is addictions. It's a heavy topic. A lot of our topics tend to be heavy topics. But if you're struggling with addiction, there is a sense of hopelessness. And even for those around you, those that love you, they can sometimes be in that place of hopelessness as well. But God really is our answer. There is a spiritual aspect to addictions. Now, we know that there are chemical reactions in our body to all kinds of addictions. It doesn't have to be a substance addiction, chemical reactions that go on and in the brain. And that's part of it. But there's a spiritual aspect. And I remember several years before I was saved, I used to go out to the bar and drink with my friends, and I remember thinking there was something, some kind of force that was pulling at me, and I just felt as though if I kept going, and I used to frequent a specific bar, and I really felt that if I kept going, this power, whatever it was going to overtake me, and I stopped going. And none of my friends understood, and I had a hard time explaining it because I didn't really understand it. And I was a period of time when I wouldn't go to any bar, and then somehow I just knew that whatever that was that was trying to get a hold of me didn't have a hold of me. But yet I knew I had to wait. I still could not go back to that one bar that I frequented. Now, that's an unusual experience, but I believe I felt this spiritual force trying to suck me in. That's how it felt. It was trying to suck me into its control. And again, it was a weird feeling. My friends didn't understand, and of course, I didn't know anything about spiritual forces of darkness. But that's exactly what it was. And so there is that spiritual force. I remember when I first got saved, a friend of mine prayed for me so that I would be, I quit smoking on my journey to salvation. And it was before I actually gave my heart to the Lord. I was convicted about tithing, that I wasn't tithing. And I had this real, real desire to tithe. And yet I thought the only way I could do it was to quit smoking, because I could, and I felt convicted about smoking. So I was going to give my cigarette money to the church. And I had started to go to the church that I was raised in, a denominational church that I grew up in, but I wasn't saved yet. But my friend Bev Hadland was saved and praying for me. So I gave up my cigarette money so that I could tithe. And I just somehow, even though that was shorter, it wasn't quite enough to make up for a tithe. I just felt God was going to honor it, which he did. And it was a year later that it was like the desire left me. It was very easy. And I had smoked for years and I had really enjoyed smoking. And I remember a year later, I said to my friend, I said, all of a sudden I have this craving to smoke for a cigarette. And she prayed for me because there was like an open door. She just prayed and broke that tie that the enemy had to my life from years of smoking. And even though I was craving a cigarette, I did not smoke. She prayed for me and broke it, and I never ever again had another craving. So there is that spiritual tie. And I remember years ago God giving me a vision of a man chained to a chair, and he was showing me, and it was a vision of a man, but it doesn't matter whether it was a man or a woman. It was God was showing me something here, that spiritual bondage chains us. And this man was trying to get up, and he could not get up. And I understood, because sometimes people will say to people struggling in an area of sin or in an addiction, just stop doing it. And because of the spiritual bondage, they can't. They cannot stop. And yet, God came, and I saw him cut the chains. And it was obviously that person would have cried out to God for help. The chains were cut. Now, it was still difficult for that man. He struggled to get up out of that chair. But it was like within minutes, he was walking very slow and then a little bit faster and a little bit faster until he could freely walk. But that's the power of prayer with breaking the strongholds in our lives when we face things like addiction or different aspects of sin. So it's not just doing what we think is the right thing or what someone else thinks is the right thing. That's why addictions are so prevalent in society today, is because there's a real stronghold over people's lives, and God is our answer. He is the one that wants to help us break free from that so that we can walk free from those strongholds that hold us back. Because addiction, no one wants to be addicted. People want to be set free. Perhaps you have a testimony to share, or you have a question about addiction, or a comment. Maybe you want prayer for yourself or for someone else. Give us a call here at the studio at 519-741-9430, or call our toll-free line at 1-877-741-9430. Perhaps you don't want to call in. Maybe you don't want to be on air. You can always email me. My email address is swaters@rogers.com. That's swaters@rogers.com. Now, those of you that are aware that my website hasn't been up and running, it's still not, but it should be operational Monday night. So hopefully that's the game plan, and I hope to have it up and running so that we can get out the mailings that you're signed up for. So if you want to connect with me at any time, please don't hesitate to email me. I love to hear from the listeners, whether it's a praise report or a struggle that they're having. I'd love to pray for you. If I can join with you in prayer, that can strengthen you. And God wants his people set free. He loves his children. So please feel free to email me. I don't receive emails while I'm on air. I don't have access to my email at the studio, but once I'm home, I do. And I'm usually, unless I'm out of town, I usually return emails within 24 hours. And I'm often on my computer several times a day, so it's usually quite quickly that I'm able to return emails. I want to read a quote by John Walters. He says, marijuana is a much bigger part of the American addiction problem than most people, teens, or adults realize. And although we're not talking about specific addictions tonight, I want you to be aware that denial is a very real problem. People deny that things like marijuana is addictive. Now, I've had clients in the past that their lives are messed up because they can't seem to get free from addiction when they come to me. They are addicted. So don't let anybody fool you that these things aren't addictive. And it's interesting. I've heard stories of people that got drugs over the internet and thought that they were safe and they weren't. We just have to be careful. We just have to use wisdom and be alert to the tactics of the enemy. If we are in denial, we will not get set free from our addiction. An alcoholic knows that. And that's one of the, when they go to Alcoholics Anonymous, that's one of the first things that they have to do is come to the realization that they are addicted to alcohol. You don't have to, whatever the addiction may be, doesn't mean you have to do it every day. You can be addicted if when you need it. And as that definition I read earlier, it causes a temporary high or a feeling of well-being followed by a low. When we have to have something to feel good, that is, it's looking like an addiction. So we want to be aware of these things. And if you have a problem, admit it. God knows. So if you admit it, you can then deal with it. See, if I have a problem and I don't admit it, I cannot deal with that problem. I cannot change any of my behavior because I'm not acknowledging that I have that problem. It's only when I admit that I have a problem that I'm able to deal with it. And that's why denial is a strong force in addiction, because people don't want to admit it. And I really believe that sometimes there's a lot of shame behind addictions, and people don't know how to deal with that shame. They don't know how to deal with the guilt, and guilt doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from God, but guilt comes from the enemy. They don't know how to deal with that, so they just deny it. And they don't, and sometimes they just don't believe that they can be set free. So if that's the case, then they don't want to admit that they have an addiction. We're going to go to a song by Mendisa called Freedom Song. If you're out there tonight and you have an addiction, allow God to speak to you through this song. Allow Him to show you truth. So listen carefully to the words as we go to that song.
Child from a broken home, where true love was torn apart. But then I met a heavenly Father who made a home inside my heart. I am the man with the chains of addiction dragging me down for way too long. But I came face to face with redemption, and now those chains are gone. Can anybody hear me? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When you've been delivered like that, you've got to shout it out.
Lift your hands up.
Welcome back to Exceeding Joy. I'm Sue Waters, and our topic tonight is addictions. So another good thing to realize about addictions is it's actually a form of idolatry. And we don't think a lot of times of idolatry in our day and age, because the Israelites made a molten image, and they made all these images that they worshipped. But anything that we place above God is an idol in our life. And even though we may not even see it, but sometimes it can be a person, it can be a substance, it can be an activity like going shopping or exercising. Whatever we are looking to bring satisfaction or to feel valuable in our life is an idol. So that can really help you as well as you begin to think in a different way. Patrick J. Kennedy said, "No one is immune from addiction. It afflicts people of all ages, races, classes, and professions." When you think about it, what's behind addictions? The enemy. And the word is clear that the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy us. And one of the ways he looks to do that is to present us with temptations that lead to addictions. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross to set us free. He took upon himself every addiction. He took that upon himself so that we could be set free. Edward Teller says, "Secrecy, once accepted, becomes an addiction." It's interesting that people with addictions always want to hide the fact that they're addicted. They want to hide whatever it is they're addicted to. And again, it's because of the shame and the guilt that they feel. And it's their short-term gain, but it's for long-term pain. So if you can realize that it's by facing the problems in our lives, that's the short-term pain, but it's for long-term gain. That way, when we face our problems, we don't have to face them alone. God doesn't want us to face them alone. He created us to do life with Him. We weren't meant to be islands unto ourselves. We weren't meant to do life alone. God wanted to partner with us to do life. That's the excitement of Christianity, is doing life with God. Listening to His voice, talking to Him back and forth, that's what He wants. He wants relationship, not religion. Relationship. I believe that there's some people out there tonight that maybe you're struggling with addiction, and maybe you've had an encounter with religion in your past. Religion won't set you free, but God will, through Jesus Christ. It's about a relationship. Christianity isn't a religion. It's a relationship with the living God. There's the world of difference. I had experienced religion growing up, but religion didn't do anything for me. But it wasn't until I came into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that my life turned around. And even into my walk with God, I started to be under the attacks of the enemy and started to believe lies about God. That's another way that the enemy attacks us. And if we believe lies about God, that He really doesn't love us, or He's not there for us, or He doesn't want to heal us, or there's all kinds of lies, that's going to be like a roadblock in our relationship with God. We won't run to Him anymore. I want to tell you that God says in Jeremiah 29:11, He says that the thoughts that He thinks towards you are good and not evil, and the plans that He has for you are to give you a future and a hope. God loves you, and He wants the ultimate best for you and for your life. Trust Him. Take that step toward Him tonight and trust Him, because He'll never hurt you. He'll never let you down. I realized that I made a lot of poor choices in my life, a lot of bad choices, because I didn't trust God. Perhaps that's your story too. But God wants you to trust Him. Just take that little baby step to trust Him. And He'll prove Himself faithful. He'll prove Himself trustworthy to you. Because He loves you, and He wants the very best for you. I remember the time when God showed me that I had viewed Him as an ogre. And He told me, He said, my pain watching you suffer was greater than your pain suffering. And that just, it's like my head went tilt. I didn't think God cared about my pain. And I wasn't aware of that in the conscious realm, but subconsciously. And once God revealed that to me, I realized that, yes, that is actually how I viewed Him. But it took a while for me to wrap my mind around that. But when I embraced His words that He hurt more than I did, it brought great healing to my heart. Because that's love. Love is caring. And when He hurt more than I did, it was a revelation that He really did love me. I had the head knowledge, because the Word of God says that He loves us. I had the head knowledge like most people, but I hadn't really experienced His love because I hadn't taken that step to trust Him. I was off making the decisions of my life that I thought were best for me. And it created more problems in my life. And so when bad things happened, I was actually had made myself vulnerable to the enemy. And he attacked. And then I thought God was punishing me. God's not out there punishing his children. He's out there calling us to come to him because he loves us and he wants to restore us. He wants to heal us. Think about some of the times in your life that have been perhaps devastating. I talked earlier about the author Serge Leclerc. He had a horrific life. Not everyone has a horrific life, but some people have really traumatic times in their life, and some people do have a horrific life. Whatever your case is, think of those times of trauma and even those times of disappointment in your life. Talk to God about them. Because unless we go to God to find out what the truth is, we're susceptible to the lies of the enemy. God loves you, and he wants you to see truth. He doesn't want you to be hindered by the lies of the enemy. In Job 15, verse 31, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Let them no longer trust in empty riches. They are only fooling themselves, for emptiness will be their only reward." That's what happens when we turn to other things or people to fill that emptiness. We turn to things that are often addictive. And God is the only one that fills us full, that satisfies us, that heals us. God's love will touch your heart in a way that no other person or no other thing could ever possibly touch your heart. Nothing can fulfill you like the love of God touching your heart. It's important that we forget about the lies, or not forget about them, but deal with them. That we bring them to God and say, "Okay, God, this is what this looks like to me. It looks like you don't care. Show me truth." And as soon as you say those words, "God, show me truth about this situation," he'll show you. And you will be amazed at what you see. And when you see truth, it breaks the power of that lie of the enemy. And it brings automatic healing into your life, into your heart, into your mind. Those that struggle with addictions must renew their minds. We have all kinds of wrong thinking patterns, and we all need to renew our minds. That's why, and the best way to renew our minds is with the Word of God. The Word of God gets us thinking clearly, gets us thinking on the right path, the way God wants us to think, rather than being susceptible to the way the enemy wants us to think. Ellen Burstyn says, "She goes from one addiction to another. All are ways for her to not feel her feelings." If that's you, if you're going from one thing to another, I really encourage you tonight to go to God. He is your answer. I've seen people with addictions go from one addiction to another. Unless we go to God, we'll not conquer addictive behavior. We will just go from one addiction to another. God loves you, and he wants you to be set free. I'd like to pray for you tonight, because God's heart is breaking for you. God weeps over you. For some of you, it's because your life is in shambles. For some of you, you're caught in the web of addiction. For some of you, it's your life is broken because of loved ones that you're watching ruining their lives because of addictive behaviors. So I want to pray for you wherever you're at. Father, I pray right now that you would touch every heart, touch and heal and bring hope. I pray that your words of truth ignite a flame of hope into every listener, whether it's hope for their life or hope for the life of someone that they care about. I pray that each person would connect with you tonight, that they would not allow the sin of what they've done to hinder them from connecting with you. You love them. You're not mad at them. You're not angry. You weep over their bondage. You sent Jesus to die so that they could be set free from their bondage. So, Father, I pray right now, as men, women, boys, and girls reach out to you to connect with you tonight, that there will be an impartation of hope, and you will begin to speak to them, because your word says that your sheep hear your voice. And I thank you, Father, that you will speak words of life, you will speak of your love to them, and you will show them how to be free. And Lord, if there's anyone out there listening that does not have a personal relationship with you, I pray that you would continue to draw them in Jesus' name. If that's you tonight and you've never given your heart to God, it's very simple. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart, to recognize that you're not perfect and you'll never be perfect, that there is a price to pay for sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin are death. But Jesus came to pay that price, that penalty of death for you. Just acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and invite Him into your heart. And as soon as you do that, He comes into your heart and you are made what the Bible calls a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you then become adopted into the family of God. I wish I could tell you that everything will change immediately in the blink of an eye, but it won't. You still have to walk out this life, but you are now walking it out with the power of God residing within you. You are now walking it out in a partnership with God, and an exciting journey awaits you. Well, I want to encourage you, after you can, Monday night, you can start accessing my website, www.exceedingjoy.com, and you can sign up for my email list. And I don't know if that page will actually be up yet or not. The gentleman that's doing my website for me is getting it up in time for I will be on Nightlight Live on Monday night. It's the late night viewing from Huntley Street. It's actually Tuesday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning till 4:30 in the morning. But for those of you that are Nighthawks, it's Monday night we call it. So. It will be up there so that people can get onto my website. So I'm not sure if the whole thing will be ready or not. So, but keep trying after that, and you can then sign up for my devotions. Now, unfortunately, we only have an old copy of my website. So the people that had newly, subscribe to the email listings may not be on there. So you may have to sign up again, and it'll be easy to sign up to, and I'll share more about that next week. So I want to thank you for listening tonight, and to just to say that Exceeding Joy was brought to you by private sponsors, wishing you a blessed evening. Be sure to listen in Tuesday night from 10:30 to 11 to our Exceeding Joy for Today show. Have a fabulous week and connect with God tonight.